coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Life begins at conception. That's the church's judgment. I accept it in my personal life. But I refuse to impose it on equally devout Christians and Muslims and Jews. I just refuse to impose that on others.
I don't see how a person can separate their public life from their private life or from their faith. Our faith informs us in everything we do. My faith informs me about how to take care of the vulnerable.
And that's what's the difference between a hymn and a ditty. A hymn's designed to do that heavy job. A ditty's just designed to make everybody know you're feeling happy at the moment. Big whoop.
The forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus and the cleansing waters of our baptism are the only thing which truly make us pure.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
It's often merely assumed in the worship wars that we're majoring in minors, that we are arguing over things that are simply preference, simply something that you like over what something someone else likes. Now, that, I think, is something that has yet to be demonstrated. It's the easiest way to go about the worship wars, just assign everything to personal preference, and then really you're just arguing over the flavor of ice cream. You're not arguing over ice cream. But in the worship wars, are we arguing over preferences or over the very nature of Christian worship itself? It's my contention that it's the latter, and I wonder whether or not there are real differences between the new worship, let's just call it what it is, the new form of Christian worship, and the old form of Christian worship. We're going to talk about the focus of the liturgy. Pastor Larry Peters will join us for the first half hour of Issues Etc. Welcome to the program. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 17th. A little bit later, Pastor Anthony Voltatorne will be our guest. We'll talk about pastors and their pessimism. And then in hour two, it's our pastor's round table. On this Wednesday afternoon will be in Matthew chapter 22, the famous parable of the wedding feast. Our guests, Pastor Joel Frischi and Pastor Mark Buto. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number right here in the studio, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email. We'll get your questions and comments that way as well. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet, our address at issuesetc, or you can leave a question or a comment for our pastor's roundtable in hour two on this Wednesday afternoon at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Larry Peters is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and he's author of a recent blog post titled, "These Are a Few of My Favorite Things." Larry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's good to be here.
You conclude your article there saying something that's rather provocative. I want you to explain it. You say, "Little do we realize that much of contemporary worship has more in common with the golden calf than the God of the cross." What do you mean by that?
Well, it means that this whole issue of worship has been diminished into merely a contest over what people like and what people don't like. At essence, what we're talking about is how God delivers Himself to us, and with Himself come all the blessings and graces that have flown from the cross. It's really about whether or not there's a word that saves, or whether there's a word that stands in a moment and makes us feel good in a moment, but can do nothing for our desperate need and the redemption of our life, both now and eternally. It's so frustrating to me that people, even Lutherans, end up arguing about page numbers and about a few words here and there, or about highbrow or lowbrow worship, when really what we're talking about is God has given us the means of grace, the word and the sacraments. They are efficacious. They do what He promised. They deliver what they say. And we look at those and we say, gee, you know, that's all nice, but I would rather do this, or I would rather do that. And so, in essence, we're like the children of Israel who choose a god of their own manufacture when God is delivering to them the promise of His grace and the covenant relationship that Moses is ready to bring down the mountain. And I think we lose that so often, and we end up arguing past each other as if, quote, traditionalists are stuck in a particular musical period or aesthetic idea, and the contemporaries have a different interest and a different like.
Okay, so the contrast that you paint there, it's really one provided by that narrative of the golden calf itself, is while God is, literally while God is delivering His form of worship, His gifts through His covenant to Moses on the mountain, the people are below, making up their own God and their own kind of worship. Now, it's easy to see the contrast there when you've got a golden statue of bulls or calves right in front of you, something that Moses can later grind up and make the people drink as God's judgment against them. But when it comes to what one might argue are the details of Christian worship today, the contrast is harder to see. How would you go about it?
Well, it starts when we begin separating style and substance, which is always a difficult thing to do. But when it comes to worship in particular, it's made more difficult because we have this idea that there's a sort of a nebulous content out there that can come in many different forms, and how it's expressed is somehow, you know, almost irrelevant to the whole deal. And the whole nature of the liturgy, properly speaking, the whole nature of what happens in worship is not a page number, but it's the means of grace, word and sacraments. And I think one of the great struggles we have in our time is that we look at the means of grace. First of all, I would say we've lost confidence that they actually do what they say, that they deliver what they promise. And so when we lose confidence in the word and the sacraments to deliver what they say and to offer us what they promise, then what we do in worship is a wide open door. And there is no right or wrong. There is no good or bad. It's just a matter of what appeals. And so, you know, in the mission area, the way we look at the world, we see a world in love with you know, certain things. We say, well, gee, if we're going to reach these people, if we're going to make people happy, if we're going to bring them to Jesus, we need to meet them where they're at and give to them something that they recognize, something that appeals to them. And I think the danger here is that we think we're dealing with issues of style, but in essence, what we're doing is we're robbing the substance of what worship is all about. It's as Lutherans, our Reformation heritage in the clear voice of the gospel, and not just the clear voice of the gospel, but the confidence that this word of the cross does exactly what it says.
Here are two prevailing models on the contemporary side of this divide for worship that I want you to respond to, and you mentioned them in your article. The first one is that Sunday morning is a venue for conversion. That is, we get people in, we draw them in, as you just said, through these kind of marketing techniques, and then the goal here is to persuade and effect some sort of conversion of the will. What's wrong with that model of Sunday morning?
Well, we've forgotten probably the first basic thing about worship, and that is nobody can worship God except those who know Him as He has revealed Himself. So worship is just not simply possible until people know who God is as God has revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. So only those who have faith can worship. And the second problem we have is that when we see Sunday morning as a venue for any cause, whether it's conversion or improvement or, you know, whatever it is, then we take that domain that is God's domain, where His agenda is at work, and we make it ours, and literally we become manipulative in that endeavor. We take the Word of God, we cherry pick it, we use music, we design it for a specific purpose, and in doing so, we we in essence treat the things of God as if they were merely tools and resources for another purpose. I would say that in essence, in worship, the means of grace, the word and the sacraments are not only the means, they are the goal, because they deliver to us Christ and his gifts. And instead of ending there, we sort of think, well, that's nice and that's all well and good, but there's something more, something different that happens beyond that, or in addition to that, or in place of that.
The other model that you mentioned in your article is Sunday morning as a place where the individual comes to express his or her faith, to say what they have to say to God. We've got about a minute and a half before we take a break. Get started on your response to that.
Well, I mean, I'll say right up front, every pastor is in love with the sound of his own voice. Every person in the pew is in love with the sound of their own voice. And when worship becomes merely the place where we hear ourselves say the things that we want to say, where we sing the things we want to sing, where we do the things we want to do, in essence, what we've done is we've made ourselves the object, and God is a bystander at best in this whole process. I think the whole nature of the liturgy, the whole nature of the means of grace, the whole nature of sacramental worship is to restrain that natural inclination to take that moment away from God and to make it about me. And that's why this is not an issue of taste, and it's not a matter of style. It goes to the very heart and core of whether there's a word there that can deliver its promise.
Pastor Larry Peters is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, the 17th of October. We're talking about the focus of the liturgy on Sunday morning. He's author of a recent blog post titled, "These Are a Few of My Favorite Things." You can find it on our webpage under Listen on Demand, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, IssuesETC.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Oh.
The hymn Praise to the Lord the Almighty, sung by the Contrari of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Now, if you go there, you haven't listened to LutheranPublicRadio.org, or if you know of somebody who hasn't listened, tell them about it. It's there 24 hours a day and 365 days a year with sacred music for the world. It follows the course of the church year. That means if you tune in now at LutheranPublicRadio.org, you're going to hear the church's music from the Pentecost Trinity season. And then, beginning the first Sunday in December, when Advent begins, that season of the church year, you'll hear the Advent music of the church at LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're talking about the focus of the liturgy. Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. Pastor Peters, we talked about those different focuses that people sometimes attach to Sunday morning before the break. If the focus of the liturgy isn't on the conversion of unbelievers, to bring them in unbelievers and somehow they worship a God they don't know, and then somehow we convert them by manipulation or somehow try to convince them. If the focus isn't on self-expression, my praise, my thoughts, my feelings, then what is the focus of Sunday morning?
Well, it's for God to do what he has promised, the means that are his promise. As Lutherans, you know, I think it's kind of interesting to go back to the Augsburg Confession and the article on the ministry, on the public ministry, and it says that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and ministering the sacraments was instituted. Yeah, the genius there is that the ministry is tied to the means through which God does what he promises. For through the word and sacraments, as through these means or instruments, the Holy Spirit is given who works faith when and where he pleases, and so on. It continues. Well, the Sunday morning venue is where God does what he has promised to do. Now, none of us would ever say, don't get me wrong, that somebody is going to come to a service and is going to sit there and is not going to hear the word and the Spirit engender in that person's heart faith to receive the blessings of the cross, what Christ has done with joy and confidence. Nobody is saying that doesn't happen. What we're saying is that it is primarily not the venue for that to happen. It is not a place of witness. Worship is where God bids us come, where he delivers to us what he has promised in order to do for us what that promise entails, to give us forgiveness and life and salvation. No one is saying that conversion doesn't take place. What we're saying is that that's not the primary purpose of it. If conversion were the primary purpose, then we would be free to tinker with the agenda and program and make it work as best it can do. We have all the technology, we have all the studies, we know how people think, we can address their felt needs, we can survey them and find out what they're interested in. In doing so, what we do is we steal the spotlight off of the Lord, but more importantly, we prevent God from doing what he's promised for us.
Is part of the problem that we have, and this is kind of the way this present generation of Christians, and, well, Americans for that matter, think about just about everything. These things belong to us. They're ours, and if they're ours, then we can put them on a shelf, we can change them, we can discard them, we can do as we want with them.
Every computer, every modern device you have, you can click somewhere or you can go somewhere, and there's this little thing called preferences. And you can make the screen, you can make the thing, whatever it is, do, sound, act, look just like you want it to look. And it becomes almost impossible for us then to get to worship and not be inclined to think that we have the same freedom there to make worship an expression of our own will, desire, and want, or need, as opposed to allowing it to be the domain of God and his word and sacraments.
You say we guard the liturgy not because we have some slavish obedience to the past, but because this liturgy keeps us from stealing worship away from the hands of Christ. What do you mean?
Well, let me just speak personally. I know, as a pastor, I want to be the center of attention. I want people to like me. I want people to be happy in church. I want to tell them what I think. And there are a few pastors who may not be like that, but underneath it, all of us pastors want to be that way. The liturgy is in essence the means of grace, which are properly speaking the liturgy. It keeps us from stealing that spotlight and making it about me. Well, in the same way, also we come and we sit in the pew, and we want worship to be like us, to reflect our wants, our desires, our tastes, to be appealing to us. And the liturgy is there to prevent us from that, because both of these pathways lead to a dead end, and they lead to death. And so we hold to the liturgy not because we have some strange desire to repristinate something from a long time ago. We hold to these because by holding to these, Christ remains center stage, and Christ is able then to do what he has promised to do, deliver what he has accomplished by his death and resurrection.
Within our Lutheran circle, you say that we Lutherans have become victims of our own insecurity. What are you saying?
Well, everybody knows in Missouri's history the battle for the Bible going back to the late 60s, early 70s, and it was a painful time for us. I think it was Wally Schultz one time said, we may have won the battle for the Bible, but we lost the war because we ended up with an inerrant scripture that we weren't sure had the power to do what it promised. And I think in some respects, he's hit exactly the point. As Lutherans, it should be our heritage that we believe God's word is powerful, living, active. It's not simply a historical record. It's not an expression. It's not an appeal to emotion. It is the word that does what it says. But I think that's exactly the problem we have today. As pastors, we talk less in this way, and as people in the pew, we begin to forget that this is an efficacious word. You know, God's word is not a placebo. It is the medicine that delivers the healing, the remedy, the life that sin has stolen from us and left us the empty corpses waiting for death. This is why the liturgy is so important, why this battle is so important, is it's not about taste, and it's not about appeal, and it's not about personal expression. It is about life and death.
Two quick final questions. Someone says, look, I go to this church on this corner that has a Lutheran sign, and they use all the contemporary stuff, but they mean well. And then I go to this church over here on the other corner, has the Lutheran sign, and they follow the historic liturgy. But they're both just as Lutheran, aren't they? What's your response?
Well, it all depends. And there are a lot of things that happen under the banner contemporary worship that it's hard to be... hard to simply label that. What I would say is that our Lutheran confessions have implicit in them a pattern, an ordo, a structure, and even words that are the reflection of what it is we confess. So for us as Lutherans, one of the great problems we have is that we've looked sideways around Christendom, and we've saw, well, this church is doing that, and it seems to be working. They're packing them in, or this church is that. This church, this is the latest thing. This is the newest thing. And we've lost, we've turned our eye away from that which is who we are. And I don't mean that in a sectarian way, to be Lutherans for Lutheran's sake. I mean that because in our confessions, what we say is that this is the evangelical and Catholic faith, the sacred deposit, that which does not change. It is the faith once delivered to the saints and now is delivered generation by generation until the day when Christ comes to bring to conclusion and completion all that he has begun. And I think one of our problems today is that we're not even really sure what a Lutheran looks like on Sunday morning because there are so many different faces. So I would say one of the real honest questions of our mission strategy is, if we don't know what a Lutheran looks like on Sunday morning, how do we expect to communicate that to somebody who is not yet Lutheran or not yet Christian with confidence and with courage and with passion. Because the confessions, if anything, are passionate confessions for the cause, for the sake of the gospel, and nothing less. And therefore, when they speak about worship, when they talk about the means of grace, when they talk about church usages, what we would call ceremonies or ritual or liturgy in the sense of the rite itself and the words that are used, it is the same passionate cause of the gospel that is being expressed, and not some partisan spirit.
Real quick here. And I love this line, but I want you to explain it. You say, we are so in love with the idea that we love Jesus that his love for us has become secondary and almost inconsequential. With about 30 seconds, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's like you go to somebody's house and you bring them this little gift, and they're going to serve you this big meal and have a night of entertainment planned, and you're so interested in giving this little gift that you forget the gift that they have given you. And that's exactly what happens when we become so enamored with the idea that we have something to give or we want to do something for Jesus, and we forget that the whole nature, the magnet that draws us in, is not our love for him. You know, as John says, we love not because of our love for him, but because he first loved us. And that's where the liturgy is, the love of Christ that is given to us, revealed to us, imparted to us in the means of grace.
Pastor Larry Peters is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of a recent blog post titled, These Are a Few of My Favorite Things. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Larry, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
You can also read more about the worship wars and the latest issues, etc. Journal. I have an article there called Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. And you can subscribe to the journal by going to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a big red button. Click it, enter your email address, and you're subscribed to the latest Issues Etc. journal. When we come back, we'll talk about pessimism and your pastor.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.